Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A.
With TNK!
I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Kristen.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, all right. That was a smooth intro.
Woohoo! We're getting this. So, what's our question for the day?
Our question today is about unschooling, and specifically, what is unschooling, and how is it different from homeschooling, or play-based, or the other methods of education? And this comes from Carly in Connecticut.
Ooh. So I've been actually reading a lot on unschooling right now.
I think unschooling is fascinating.
It is. It's very fascinating. I actually had no idea what it was until like a year ago. And I watched a TED Talk by, I don't know, a 13-year-old boy or something like that, who is unschooled. And it was amazing to listen to him and how he just talked about his experiences. And I should actually go back and watch that. I should actually figure out who that was and then be able to point people in the direction of that TED Talk.
Yeah, what's his name or something?
So I'm going to Google that right now. What do you know about unschooling?
The first time I heard about unschooling was when my roommate wrote a paper on it in college. I think that was like our junior year of college.
Oh, really?
And she was like, have you heard about unschooling? And I was like, no, that sounds ridiculous. What is that? But the more I've come to learn about it, the more I feel like unschooling embraces more than any other philosophy how people actually learn and what learning looks like in the real world.
Yeah.
And the more I learn about it, the more I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's like unschooling is how it's to like, be a self-directed human.
Yeah, and it's... It totally makes sense. It totally makes you feel like that. Why would you do it any other way?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the TED Talk was, his name is Logan LaPlante. Not sure if that's how you pronounce it. It's L-A-P-L-A-N-T-E. And it's called Hack Schooling. So if you just Google Logan Hack Schooling TED Talk, you'll be able to watch it. It's a really good one, very moving. And that's kind of was my first introduction into kind of the whole unschooling thing and what it is.
Yeah.
So
what would you say unschooling is? Unschooling in a nutshell.
Unschooling would be allowing, this is what I would think it would be allowing a child to take full control of their own learning.
Yeah.
It's and trusting the process.
Learning. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, as human beings, we're just naturally curious. And when you're naturally curious, you're going to learn.
Yeah.
I really understand what unschooling is now because I think that as adults, we unschool all the time.
Yeah.
When you're not in college, like
yeah,
in
when
college,
someone's not telling you what you need yes, to know, what do
right,
you want to know.
So we're unschooling ourselves right now, like learning about all of these things. And every episode of our pod, when we have to do some research for it, we're unschooling ourselves. We are diving into it because we're curious and we're interested. And yeah, that is what true learning is. So I think that's it in a nutshell. It's directed by yourself.
Yeah. And it's also often associated with homeschooling.
Yep.
It is a homeschooling method. The unschooling.com website is great, by the way.
I have actually never been to it.
It is wonderful.
Ooh.
They talk about what unschooling is and how it came about. And they frame unschooling on the spectrum of homeschooling. So it's not that there's a difference between unschooling and homeschooling. It's that you kind of fall as a homeschool learner somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And then at the far end, I guess, is radical unschooling, which I don't fully understand. But I guess that's a camp, too, of like extreme unschooling.
I wonder what that would be like.
Yeah, because I feel like unschooling is pretty extreme as it is.
Yeah.
So how do you get more extreme? Yeah.
Interesting.
And
okay.
For the listeners.
I was going to say,
unschooling is not the absence of learning.
Right.
It's the absence of an adult-focused learning environment.
Ooh.
So the way I understand it, because I don't, you know, this is all from research and investigating on the internet.
Right.
The way I understand
unschooling yourself.
Yeah, I unschooled myself about unschooling. And the idea is that, here's a great quote, that teachers and parents aren't leading the learning. They're following the learner and supporting their learning. So the quote from unschooling.com that I thought was A+ awesome was, as we learn to step back and take on the role of partner or facilitator in our child's learning and away from the manager of it, we witness a profound integrated wealth of knowledge taking place in both the child and ourselves.
Hmm.
I love that quote. I feel like that's what I strive for in my child-led preschool classroom anyway.
Right.
But to really embrace that role as partner in learning, as a teacher, you're not there to tell them what to do or what to learn. You're there to say, what do you want to learn? I'll help you accomplish that.
Okay, I want to tell you an awesome example of this. So in 1999, there was a man named, and I'm probably going to totally butcher the name, the way you pronounce his name. His name is, if you looked at it in English and pronounced it as a person from America, it would be Sugata Mitra. So in 1999, he was working in New Delhi. Mm-hmm. So I'm pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. He must have been some sort of a scientist at some sort of a business. And he got this idea that it was in the slums is where this business that he worked at was. And his idea was, I'm going to go put a computer, the name of the research project was Hole in the Wall. And so he put a computer at child level in the middle of the slums where children didn't have like formal education and just stepped back. And his whole purpose was to see what they could learn without any adult direction. So he put it there, turned it on, and then just watched. And kids flocked to it and they learned so much. They learned how to navigate it, how to do different things on it, how to make documents, how to search the internet. And they learned English from it and they learned other languages. And it was all child led. They were so curious about what this thing was. And part of the research also happened around the community of learners and how there was lots of different kids from different age groups who were using this computer or the computers, because then he started adding more, I think, and the research project started to get a little bit more in depth. But the community of learners was that there was kids who were like 5 and there was kids who were 18 and they were all working together to figure out problems and or just figure out what they wanted to learn from that computer. And found that the learning that takes place between the ages is so profound when it's all in one room versus when you split them into age levels. So that was one big takeaway, I think, from the research. And then he put, there was like another study he did in 2010 where he put, and I was just reading about this one today. It was fascinating. He loaded a computer with molecular biology materials and then put it in a room with 10 and 14 year olds. And then he turned it on. And he said, there's some interesting stuff on this. You want to take a look? And so they did. And then he watched for 75 days. And that's what was on there. They were studying molecular biology. And so at the end of 75 days, he gave a written test. And they got 1 out of 4 right on average. After 75 more days, they were getting every other question right on I don't even know what molecular biology is because I stayed away from it. It didn't interest me. I don't want to unschool myself in that. So what he kind of took away is that if you put something in front of kids and then you walk away as the adult and you let them figure it out, the learning that takes place is so much more profound than if you sit and teach to them and teach at them something that you might be interested in or that you think is important or that the government thinks is important. So anyway, he did a TED Talk. So you can Google that too and watch Sugata. It's Sugata Mitra, Mitra. And then he ended up getting a $1 million grant from TED. Mm-hmm, wow. From TED. He started, and you can look this up, and it's fascinating to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this, but I don't have time. So he started a school in the cloud, it's called schoolinthecloud.org. I don't know if it's school in the clouds or school in the cloud. I need to look that up. Schoolinthecloud.org. So what it is it's like you can start these self-organized learning environments. So, and it's called SOLE, S-O-L-E. And so you could be at your home with, you know, unschooling, if you're homeschooling or unschooling your family, or if you were in a traditional mainstream classroom and a teacher was interested in this and was like, oh, we could really learn some cool things from this, just multiculturally or whatever, however you would want to use it. You can apply to be what is called a granny on School in the Cloud. So a granny is a volunteer anywhere in the world. You can apply as an adult to be a facilitator for a self-organized learning environment group. It could be a classroom of kids in India. It could be a homeschooled group of kids in England. It could be, I don't know, it could be anywhere. And they obviously will match you up with people who speak the same language. But it's like, so you do these things, I think it's an hour long once a week where you're a granny and you you get on Skype and you do some sort of a lesson with these kids in a different part of the world.
Wow.
And it
that
is
so cool.
I know. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I could be one of these grannies. I want to be a granny. So you can go on schoolinthecloud.org and like you can donate to it and you can read about it. It is a very, very cool thing. And so it's still going. His research is still going and he's got this amazing thing started called School in the Cloud now, and so many people are hopping on board, and it's awesome.
That sounds so cool. And immediately I want to get so many high school classes involved, not just from the end of being in the group on the School in the Cloud, but wouldn't it be cool to be a high school student and work as a granny?
Totally. I didn't even think about that.
Middle schoolers with their algebra?
Yes. Or elementary schools with elementary kids with their reading or rhyming. I mean, it goes young. I mean, it's anywhere from little kids at home with their brothers and sisters who are hopping on their soul school in the cloud, all the way up to high school. So
cool.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
I know. I had no idea this existed until today. And I actually didn't even stumble upon it. A parent of a preschool student emailed me this morning and said, oh my gosh, I got shivers when I read this.
Wow.
You need to see this. And so I read it often. But it was all, it's, there's a lot more to the article. This is the point where I wish we had a place to like post the things that we, like links to things.
Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, wait, listeners, maybe if you reply to things on Explorations Early Learning, maybe we could get our own page someday and then we could reply back easily.
Yeah.
Send us messages. We would love to hear from you.
Totally. Yeah. So I think that was kind of like the beginning, that study in particular. That study is actually referenced in Peter Gray's Free to Learn book as well, that I've talked about many different podcasts. So if you have not read that book, you need to pick that book up and read it. Tiffany, read it.
I know. I even recommend it to people, and I'm just like, this book is supposed to change your life, and I'm scared it's going to change mine a whole lot.
We're going to do a book report on that one because
then you're assigning me one. You're going to top down assign me.
So that's going to be February.
Okay.
We're going to do that. Book report on Free to Learn.
Sounds good.
So in Peter Gray's book, the Sudbury schools are very much kind of along the same philosophy of unschooling. Sudbury schools are very much you go and you just do whatever you feel you like you need to do. And the teachers are... they're not even called teachers.
I thought you were about to curse right there. They feel like whatever they
I don't
feel
know.
Like doing.
They do. They just do whatever they want to do. And they learn. And they become very successful citizens.
There's
and
also they... a documentary about it.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't watched it because you had to pay money to rent it. And I'm kind of a cheapskate sometimes.
What is it called?
I think it's called The Homeschool Experience.
Oh.
I want to say. And it's from the perspective of grown-ups who are homeschooled and unschooled, and now they're functioning in society.
Mm.
And it looks fascinating.
Right.
Because that's the other end of the spectrum is, like, this gets you through the, you know, doing the unschool method through homeschooling. The goal of that is to prepare you for life in a different way.
Right.
And how does it prepare them for life?
Right.
I mean, I'm asking that in a rhetorical way. I believe it does prepare them for life.
Mm-hmm. I do, but too.
How is it different? I'm sure it's vastly different.
So I've also kind of read a little bit, too, and noticed kind of a recurring theme that there's a percentage of the population of unschooled children who start to, as they get older, start to think, why am I learning this way when, you know, kids I come across other places are learning completely different than I am, and I'm actually learning anything. And they start to get a little bit self-conscious, and then maybe they want to head off to school and see what it's all about. And so I think that that's kind of a unschooling thing that occurs. And so it got me to kind of thinking, like, how could you apply some of the same unschooling type methods where it's very child-centered and it's basically based on motivation and what your interests are? And how could you apply that? What kind of school could you go to that would foster that type of a educational philosophy?
Yeah. And
any Sudbury, idea?
Sudbury is one of them?
Sudbury is one of them, yes.
Democratic and it's school, too?
Yeah, Democratic school. Sudbury is how you spell Sudbury.
Mm-hmm.
After reading Peter Gray's, I totally did not want to read Peter Gray's Free to Learn book because I'm a doer and a mover and a shaker and, if I'm very passionate about what I do, obviously, and I start things and I finish. Like, I start them and I finish them. And so I knew because of my son Crew and a lot of the things that he goes through at school. And have I talked any about him at all on
Not
the podcast?
No.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit of story about Crew. Crew's a second grader. And when he was in kindergarten, he... there was one point where he did not want to go to school, and I had to make him go to school. Obviously, he had to go to school, and I had to go to work, and I had to put him in the car. He tried to jump out of the car.
Yeah.
He's a kindergartner. He did not want to go to school. Like, wow. He tried to jump out of the car. And that is, like, my moment where I was like, what is school doing to him? Like, what is going on? Like, why is he doing this? And same thing in first grade. It wasn't quite as bad in first grade, but still had lots of moments. And then there was a moment already this school year, second grade. We ended up switching schools, going to a private school, just trying to get a smaller class size for him. He doesn't learn like everybody else, and we haven't quite figured out what's different and why he doesn't learn kind of at the same pace as everybody else. Obviously, everybody's different.
Yeah.
But as a parent, you struggle with that, and when he's expected to be at a place where he's not ready to be, it's frustrating for him, and he has a lack of confidence. And anyway, there was one day this school year where he refused to get dressed, and I had to get to work, and I had to put him in the car in his underwear. And I threw three pairs of pants in the car because he's very picky about what he wears and how it feels on his body. And there's some sensory things there. And so I put three different, very different feeling pairs of pants, a pair of wind pants, a pair of sweatpants, and a pair of jeans in the car, and said, you got to get these on. And so he rode all the way to school in his underwear. And then I bring my kids to preschool where I work. And then my kids don't have to be to school until a little bit before 8 o'clock. Well, my kids, preschool kids, start coming to school at 7:45. And so I have to be here to welcome them. So one of my teachers actually gets in the car and takes my kids to school for me so that I can be here to welcome all the families.
Yeah.
So she took him to school and he had his pants on, but he didn't have his shoes on at that point in time. And so she ended up having to call me because he wouldn't get out of the vehicle. And I had to then leave the preschool as kids were coming in, and I had to go to school, and she had to then leave and race back to school so that there would be another teacher here. We have four teachers here, so the two of us were gone. Wasn't a big deal, but so she came back here, and I had to carry him into the school. He was bawling, and set him in the classroom, and he doesn't tell us why. Like, he told us it was because of his jeans didn't feel right. But it doesn't seem like that type of sort of a reaction would be because his jeans don't feel right. And he doesn't really know how to tell us, like, if something is making him feel uncomfortable at school. So anyhow, I did not want to read Free to Learn. Well, then we went to UNCON and had dinner with, at the very last night before we left. You were already at the airport and you were sad that you had to leave. But we were at an Italian restaurant and I was sitting right across from Lisa Murphy and we were talking about that book, and I said, I honestly haven't read it yet because I'm scared to read it. And then she's like, read it. Like, you need to read it. Like, and I said, I'm scared that I'm going to have to go on this whole nother adventure of, like, starting a school, and I don't want to. I don't have energy for that. And she's like, you need to do it. It's people like you who are going to make change in this world, and you need to read it. So I read it, and now look at what I'm doing.
Yeah. And now you're telling me to read it.
Now I'm working on a school. So hopefully eventually we'll have something in place for kids like my son who traditional school just doesn't fit for him. And so the thing is now that I've been reading up so much on unschool, I see all these things and I'm like, like, that's totally an unschooling moment. Like, I wish that we could, like, grab a hold of this and unschool, but I'm just, it's really hard for me to, like, break free. How do you just like break free of school and, like, say, okay, we're going to do this, especially when you work full time. Like, how are you supposed to do that for your child when you work full time?
Yeah. And that's,
I don't know.
On the unschooling website, they have a great visual, which I will describe because this is not visual. they have a little box with traditional schooling. And a little, and it says thesis, traditional schooling. And then a little box next to it that says unschooling, which is the antithesis. And then when they combine together to in the middle, a new sort of educational model is built.
Okay.
And I feel like that's what we need to strive for, is that space in the middle.
Right.
And because that's kind of, I see unschooling is this, like, big reaction to the fact that school systems don't work for every kid.
Right.
And that traditional schooling model doesn't work for every kid. In fact, you know, I argue that it doesn't work for a lot of kids.
Right.
But it works well enough to keep going.
Right. I know. So that's where I'm at. And I think that that's where a lot of the population is. It's like, I believe in this unschooling. I believe that children learn when they're ready to learn and that by being curious, it motivates you to learn. And everybody has the capacity to learn completely on their own and to be able to ask for help. I think that's another big part of unschooling is, you know, parents have to be kind of the facilitator as far as, if your child is interested in something, finding some sort of a mentor that if you don't know anything about that topic, like, let's find somebody in the community who does know something about this and is willing to work with you or talk with you or a phone conversation or a job shadow or something. I think that that's a huge part of unschooling is tapping into community resources.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
We have.
I don't
know.
I think it's a. I think it's this. It's like a catch 22. It's like, yeah. Oh, I want this so bad for my kids. I do. I would love that for my children, but I work full time.
Yeah.
And I, what? So what do you do? So I read a book called Unschooling Rules, and it's a really good book. And it's gonna kind of really drive the focus of the school that I'm working to create with a couple other wonderful women that are working on it with me. But you should read it, Unschooling Rules.
Yeah, I should read it. That sounds like a great plan.
Yeah, maybe we should do
it first and then Free to Learn after.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll have to do a book report on.
Yeah.
Should we do that? A book report on Unschooling Rules?
Yeah. That sounds like a great plan. It's a short little book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do it. Hey, if you want to join us in the book report.
Yeah.
Read this book and then join us next time.
Yeah.
It's short. It's
Unschooling Rules by Clark Aldrich, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
It's very short. Like, seriously, an hour read.
Yeah. Take a nice long bath. And on the Kindle, it's only $2.99, according to Amazon.
Right.
So get a little digital copy and join us next
read
time.
Read on.
For some more unschooling discussion.
Do you think we could have it read and by next week, and then we could release it next week?
I think so.
Okay, let's do it.
So. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. What would you do? Time for what would you do? All right. Tiffany.
Yes, Kristen.
What would you do if you woke up tomorrow morning and had a unicorn horn attached to your forehead?
Oh, so many dreams are coming true. Oh, I feel like I would have to fully embrace it. Like, if I'm just showing up, P.S., tomorrow's the first day back from winter break if we're not snowed out. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'd have to really embrace it. Like, I'm just going to wear this sweet rainbow outfit. I'm going to, carry glitter with me everywhere I go. And now I'm a unicorn. I am a unicorn.
Okay. Would you like... Okay, so why is unicorns associated with rainbows?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Am I like a... wow. That's a heavy question. I wonder if Lisa Frank had anything to do with that.
Oh, maybe.
Like, where did the origin of unicorns and rainbows come from?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a Harry Potter unicorn, and if you drink my blood, you live forever.
Maybe.
Okay. And then I would make sure to never get hurt ever again, because that sounds like a terrible thing.
Right. Have you read the books The Land of Stories?
No.
Oh. Okay. I'm starting it. My mom said it's like a fabulous, fabulous like series, and it's written by a very young guy. Very young. Like, I looked at his picture, and it was kind of like one of those whatever syndrome you were talking about a few episodes
back.
Imposter
syndrome.
Yeah. It's like, hey, you can write a book. You're like 10. And it's a long book.
Cool. Cool.
So, Land of Stories is probably something that you would really enjoy.
Yeah. Well, Kristen. Yeah.
Well, Tiffany.
It's been fun. Send us your questions.
Oh, yeah. What's our email address?
QFORTANDK. @gmail.com. That's Q4TNK.
Perfect. Thank you.
Adios.
See you next time.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to Q4TNK@gmail.com. That's QFORTANDK@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.